Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Boom, I'm here. Magic. It is the month of October anyway, so and we're getting closer to Halloween. I suppose I can do some magic if I want to. It's my show. I'll do what I want. Anyway, it's great to have you here back in the limelight yet again this week. We've got another extraordinary entrepreneur. I cannot wait to introduce her to you because this is a story probably like you've never heard before, and it's going to go deep and it's going to go fast, and we are going to she's going to be showing you how you can move your present life the way it is into what exactly your real purpose was meant to be. But wait, don't go anywhere. You are going to find out the way she does this, which is something unbelievable. I'm going to remind you that you can watch your these videos of mine. You can watch them on Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, Android TV, Amazon Fire, and YouTube. You can listen to the podcast on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and don't forget our good friends over at Inspired News Radio. We are also over at clarissaburt.com. You can read our digital magazine. We are In the Limelight. It is intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. Well, without further ado, I do want to bring her on. But I want to know if you, how you, you know, you think that you're turning your life into its best life, how, you know, you are able to turn yourself into maybe even get higher profits. Now I might have your attention. I'm sure I do. Let me bring her on right now. There she is right now, Mariko Frederick. Lovely to have you with us.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
I am telling you that your story is so amazing. So let me tell everybody really quickly in a nutshell what the story is, and then you can expand upon that. So Mariko is doing very well, has a great, you know, business. She's doing all kinds of things like, you know, Chinese medicines, and she's having a great life. In 2003, she dies, literally dies. And comes back to life, but she doesn't come back to life just, oh, you know, something weird happened to me. She comes back to life with a gift, and she didn't want to come back. They apparently told her three times, you got to go. Now you need to leave or we're going to kick you out. You got to go back. You got to go back. And this to me is really unbelievable. And you've been able to come back now, being able to tell people exactly what their life, should they be confused, and many are, exactly what their life purpose is.
Yes, to a T. It's weird. So I came back and I didn't know I had a gift, right? They don't send you back with like a marketing plan and a website. And the thing is, when you're on the other side, there's not human language. It's not like I came back with words, right? You get the
down. It's all telepathic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all, I call them thought waves because there's not even words, and these waves of thought come at you, and then I am able to interpret them. And so I came back just full of this cosmic download. I didn't know what it was. And then on top of it, I was sick in bed for many, many years. And so I couldn't even live the assignment on my life that I knew I came back for.
Right. Stop right there. You were sick in bed because you had contracted Lyme's disease. You love, you know, your hikes, and you were, I forget where, Tahoe or somewhere like that. And you get, mm-hmm. You got bit by a tick. You got very sick. Lyme's mm-hmm. is going to be debilitating. Mm-hmm. And you went to a treatment. The treatment went wrong. We won't go down that path, but it kind of went wrong. And that's where you started to get even sicker. And that's what caused you, we think, you say, to die, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You go into the light and you have your life review.
Mm-hmm.
You wind up, I'm going to call it to the destination for lack of better, you know, wording. And again, you are told you're not supposed to be here yet. You need to go back. Three times they told you, three times you said, uh-uh. And then you said, all right, I'm going to go back. Now that you've told me why I have to go back, which is to help people with their life's purpose. And not only their life's purpose, but a lot of times you're merging and melding also their business purpose
into life purpose, and you're actually helping me people make a whole lot of money because they just didn't get it before. Tell us a couple of your success stories there.
So the first time it happened to me, I had no idea what was going on. You know, like I said, they don't send you back knowing exactly what it is. They just implant it. They put it in me. Like, I carried it in my soul. And the first time it happened, I had a woman come into my office, and she was there for, I can't remember what, but I was trying to do alternative medicine again. And she lies on my treatment table, and I lay into her, and I was like, why haven't you quit your job and started your own business? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm yelling at this lady. She's never met me before. I'm like,
Monica. She's like, huh?
She was like, what? Actually, later to find out, like, what? How do you know? And then I was like, I'm sorry. And I try to continue on with my normal treatment. And then I just start going. And just going and like lecturing her and laying out this entire plan of what she needs to do. And I'm like, what is happening? And so to my utter surprise, she came back for more sessions with me. And I would continue to pretend to practice alternative medicine, and I would be getting the download. And I can't remember how many years it is, because I do have short-term memory and long-term memory issues now. But it wasn't very long after, maybe 2 or 3 years, and she thanked me, and she's making over $1 million a quarter. And so it surprised me. Yeah. And so that was the first time it happened. And I still, and then, you know, Clarissa, I didn't understand what was happening. And so I still kept getting more clients coming to me, and everybody started making more money except me, because I didn't know how to charge my work. I didn't understand. Yeah. And so I'm looking around going, well, literally all my clients have made more money. How weird. And I still didn't get it. It took a while for me to understand.
Yeah. So, I want you to tell me what it feels like to die. But in pre-show, we were also talking about the fact that, you know, for a fact now, after the experience of dying, going to the other side, let's call it that, for lack of, you know, better again, intensive purposes, and you coming back, that you know for a fact that there are indeed past lives. That this is not our first incarnation.
Mm-mm. No, it's not. Especially the clients I work with, you know, they're here to, they've hit the top of their game in their business, and they're really here. They come to me to reach that, to help them reach that infinite place of their soul where they serve. So there are more than one lives, and this is something that's been hard for me to say publicly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we are.
Yeah. So, you're not comfortable with that. I want to know why you don't feel comfortable saying that. Is it because is it the retribution that you fear, or is it, well, you know, it's almost like you feel like you need permission to say that. Why is that?
I haven't met anybody who has the same story. And I guess I'm just kind of looking at, you know, here's the thing. So I've always tried to fit in and be normal. And the fact is, I'm not. And I think a lot of us aren't. And it's, I don't know why. Thank God. Exactly. So I stayed conscious between my last life and this one. And I remember every detail of my last life, dying in my last life, who I was, not my name, but the position I had in town. It could have been 1,000 years ago. But for me, when I think of standing in my house on the second floor of this stone building with a guy with a cart in front of me, I felt as modern as a, you know, CEO standing on his Manhattan skyrise penthouse. You know, I felt so modern. And then I died. And I remember the death process then. And then this is where I really serve from, is when I died, they showed me what my potential was. They showed me what I would have done had I played full out, had I used the gifts of my soul.
Hey, and wow.
Said, great. Put me back in. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And they said, you can't. You're dead. And you could never go back. And you'll never be that person again. It's too late.
Was that sad? Or was it like, okay, put me in again. You know, coach, put me in again. What, you know, who am I going to be this time?
No, I was devastated.
Yeah.
I was devastated because they showed me. See, here's the thing. All the obstacles that we have, right? We say we have these obstacles, and they're 50 feet high and 2 miles wide. And we're like, I can't jump over that. And then you die. And then they show you that obstacle that was insurmountable just drops down to this little string about 6 inches off the floor. And you're like, really? And they're like, yeah. So of course you're willing to do the work.
Right.
But when we're in this human form, everything seems so real. It seems so heavy. It seems insurmountable. And then when you leave this world, it's like, oh my gosh, I'll hit my full potential. And I think
that's where your work comes in. Your work makes it all really snackable, bite-sizable, you know, the mini packets that we put in our lunch boxes or something. You make it easier to understand. You make it easier to implement and to put into place. That's like almost like a blueprint, if you will.
It is. My clients tell me that. They said, you give me the roadmap. You gave me the blueprint. You put the puzzle together for me.
Right.
And it's really just me seeing the assignment on their life and saying, this is exactly what you need to do. These are the people you're meant to serve.
Right.
And then because the plan gets, you know, bigger, the money comes because they're serving. It's not about money. Because when you leave this world, there's no money.
Right.
The idea of money vanishes the minute you take your last breath.
Yeah, but absolutely. This
service counts.
So let's put the ticker underneath it. Mariko Fedrick is the founder of Soul Priority. I love the name. That's great branding right there. I think that's awesome. I'm going to keep that ticker up there so that everybody can know, you know, as we're talking, where you can go and get some more information. She is everywhere on social, pretty much LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So you can find her pretty much anywhere. Facebook is The Mariko Fedrick. Twitter is Our Soul Priority. And again, I'm sure from her website, right, they can find pretty much everything there. So how is it that we can align with our higher purpose, with higher profits? Give us a couple nuggets.
Yeah. So, you know, here's the thing. There's two things that you're meant to do. The first thing you're meant to do is reach higher consciousness. If you don't do anything else but that, you're good to go. If that's the only thing you want to do, do that.
Right.
When it comes to turning your higher purpose into higher profits, that comes from a place of service. Who are you serving? Are you serving the people that you're meant to be serving? And when you do that, when you align with not saying, I want to do this business because I want to make a lot of money, but truly, how can I help improve this world? How can I improve people's lives? It's just the law of reciprocity, right? The universe is like, awesome, thank you. And when you die, you feel that gratitude from the universe. Every time you aligned with service, every time you help someone. And so my point is, do that now and do it consciously and do it purposely.
Right. Cool. So what is it that you wish that everybody knew about dying? And what is your perspective on the afterlife? I mean, what is it that we need to know that what you've been there, you've been back, right? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming there was really no fear involved. People are afraid of death.
No, isn't that funny? So I would say one of the things that we worry about is death, right? We're so excited when somebody's born and they take their first breath. And yet we're terrified of taking our last breath. And what I would say is really every breath in between those two is what counts. What are you doing with your life? And a lot of people have a calling on their life and they know they're meant to do something more and they have all these excuses. Again, that big 50-foot wall is up and it's going to drop down to a little tiny string. So go do it. Go live full out. Live the assignment on your life. Right. As far as what I wish people knew is probably that. Just all of the excuses you have aren't real. They disappear when you leave this world. And sometimes sometimes you have to look and say, okay, am I being blocked because the universe is saying, don't go that way?
Yeah.
Or is it really just my own mindset and I'm giving myself an out because I'm afraid?
Yeah. But I wish I could have all the time back, Mariko, that I lost living in fear. If I could get that time back and I could add it to the end of my life, I'd be thrilled with just that, you know, but, we're only here truly for a flash. If you think about it in the grand scheme of things, we're really only here for how long? I mean, it's a flash it is so fast in and out. I mean, if you take a look up and at the stars, you know, just how tiny and it's insignificant with all of our significance that we really are, you know? Yeah. So I think that's probably my greatest motivator now, especially, you know, as I passed 60 and I'm rounding into a different phase of my life, you know, how many more years do I have left? Let's just say I have 50 more years left. Mm-hmm. I'll make it to 110. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to even say that to myself, my subconscious, the universe will take care of it, but that's not a lot of time.
No, we're halfway done.
Yeah, we're halfway done. Right.
We're halfway done.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I like to remind myself of that frequently. So I know this is what keeps me motivated to be the best I can be every day, to work, you know, really, really in a very positive way and leave, you know, a legacy. So not that I live for legacy, I really don't, but I do think that there's a lot more that I should be doing that I haven't done yet. So let's just leave it at that. So how is it that we can, you use the word unlimited. How do we become unlimited? Explain that.
You know, it's so easy and yet it's so hard to do, but really it's tuning into your soul, because when you're living every moment from your soul, you are tapped into the unlimited resources and they're all available for you. So that's the thing, when you need something. So here's what I love how to explain it. When I died, first of all, there's no death, so don't worry about that. Like, you don't really die. I was never more alive than when I left this world. I was like, oh my God, I'm alive. And that's why they had to tell me to go back three times, right? I'm alive. I'm
like wait, I just got here.
Yeah. Well, you realize the completeness and the infinity of who you are as the soul and the bliss. And then they're like, go back and be a human. And you're like, what? Yeah. So, oh gosh, you have to remind me. This is my short-term memory.
See, okay. You said, you're like, I don't want to go back to that hellhole. I mean, let me stay here. The word was unlimited. So unlimited. How do we become unlimited? And what do you mean by that term?
Okay. So when you leave, thank you. When you leave this world, you see that abundance is creative energy. And what I think of is as if you put all that creative energy and abundance into a bubble and you said, okay, everything that we think of abundance is in this bubble, right? Music, art, poetry, right? Health, relationships, love, money. All of that is in our bubble of abundance. And what we tend to do is we limit ourselves and we say, well, okay, I can have all the music I want. I'm not worried that musicians are going to stop. I'm not worried that we're going to run out of art, but I am worried we're going to run out of money. And so we put money in a cage, we lock it, and we say, that's hard to get. And so we do limit ourselves with the things that we really want. And part of that is because you're not in alignment with service. And so really it's not living just for yourself, but saying, how can I serve? And when you do that, you align yourself with that unlimited abundance and you just become in line with your soul, align with the resources, and you are unlimited.
So what is the work then that you do? Having said that, what's the work that you do with businesses? Let's stay away a second from the personal aspect, although I'm sure that they definitely work hand in hand.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The business aspect, really, I think people are, especially in these times, and I wanted to ask you also about your perspective. Let's do that. What's your perspective on what on 2020? Like, what's happened this year?
So 2020, I think, is stretching a lot of us out of our comfort zone. And I believe that that is where we're meant to be. I think we were getting too complacent and too comfortable, mm-hmm. and we need to get to work. I believe that there are certain people here, and quite a few of them, that are here to usher in a higher age of doing business. And we are being stretched outside of our comfort zone. And for those who are really awake and going, okay, I'm going to play full out in 2020, they are going to be here helping a lot of people come 2021 and beyond.
Yeah.
I think that there's also a mindset for the entire world, right? What do you watch? People just sit and they watch negative stuff on TV. They listen to negative stuff. They read negative stuff.
Right.
And then they wonder how we manifested all of these problems. Well, what you think about is what happens. And so I think that there's also a lesson of personal accountability happening for 2020.
Yeah, without a doubt. Okay, because I was going to ask you this question anyway, and I thought about this even before pre-show. We talk a lot about people being awake or being awakened or people that are woke, as they call it, awoke. Yeah. What does that mean for people that may not necessarily be following the trajectory of, what the heck does that mean, she's awoke? What does that mean that she's awake?
Can you explain that? Right. I feel like, you know, we have to be really careful of our egos wanting to get too spiritual.
Sure.
Right? There's a lot of like, I'm so woke or what, I don't even know.
Yeah.
And it's, are you a conscious, kind human being? Are you serving? Are you helping? Are you, sharing love? Are you sharing compassion? Right. Woke, I think what they're talking about obviously is being enlightened. Well, when you're enlightened, you're not going around saying I'm so woke.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. For sure. Yes. The other thing is also, you touched upon it before, is, you know, it really striving to be vibrating at a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is something not so easy to do. What do you suggest that people do? Are there exercises that people can do? How do you know where you are? How do you know where you need to be? And how do you get there?
So that's another thing. I mean, let go of comparison, right? Because you are the soul and the soul is complete. You are enlightened. Your soul, there's nothing wrong with your soul. And so part of it is watching the language, right? When people say, I'm tired, I can't do that, da da da. Your soul can do anything. Your soul is unlimited. And so it's also just that alignment and that belief and that realization of, oh, I am the soul. I'm not this human person with limitations, right? And so that it's striving for that every moment of every day, every breath. What are you thinking about? What are you putting in your body? Right. Personal accountability. Am I putting in my body something that's going to lift my consciousness, or am I putting something in my body that's going to lower it? Am I watching something that's lifting or lowering? Right. And so it's those daily practices, those little tiny habits that will bring you up in consciousness. And don't worry about where somebody else is, because everybody's necessary. Everybody's necessary. Even people that are behaving quite badly right now, they're elevating and pushing us to go into a higher state of consciousness.
Absolutely.
Because they look at that and say, we don't want that.
Well, you know, what's really difficult to understand as well is that, you know, we hear a lot, oh, we're all one and one is all. And then we take a look at what's happening on TV and go, well, I'm not that.
Yeah. So I have a lovely analogy for that that I learned somewhere, and I just think it's adorable. So if you imagine, so you are all one. That's one thing. When you leave this world, you are one. So the people that you really can't stand right now, guess what? You're one. And in the astral realm, when you leave the world that you live in after you leave this world, I remember there was somebody who I really didn't like. Like he, this person was an enemy. And when we got there, I saw this soul and it was like, there was only gratitude and respect.
Right.
Now, it wasn't hugs and butterflies and kisses. It was just like, okay, thank you. I understand. And so we are all one and we are here to teach each other lessons. So, but what I love is this analogy of a caterpillar climbing a really large mountain. And so as the caterpillar, if you look at each leg on the caterpillar, and each leg is one person, everybody in the world, right? Represents one leg. And this caterpillar is climbing toward the top of this really high mountain. And on the base of the mountain, everybody's around and they're picnicking and people are having a great time. And then as the caterpillar starts to get toward the middle of the mountain, there's less people, right? It gets a little bit harder. And as this caterpillar starts to get to the top of the mountain, there's really nobody there. Maybe one other person, two other people, but very few people get to the very top of the mountain. And so it's easy for sometimes for us to go from the top of the mountain, middle of the mountain and go, well, what's wrong? Why is everybody still back there? Right? Because the view starts to get a little different or our consciousness gets higher. Well, guess what? The legs, the people at the bottom are just as necessary to push us all up. Right? You need the bottom of that caterpillar to be pushing everybody up top. And so a lot of it is letting go of judgment and saying, well, am I at the bottom, middle, top? Does it matter? Am I in alignment with my soul? Am I serving and doing what I'm here to do?
Right. Well, I can't wait to get our session underway. I know that you and I are going to be talking in a week's time, and I cannot wait to get your download, to get a perspective from that might is coming from somewhere else that I might not have been able to access on my own. So that's going to be really thrilling. And everybody else that wants to do the same can find Mariko at soulpriority.com. I'm going to end this story with this, the interview with this. Well, it is a story, but the interview with this, Mariko. And that is, and I do ask this question frequently because I love the different answers that we get. It's always really, really cool to hear how people come back with this. You cannot say husband, you can't say children, but up till now, what would you say has been your crowning moment?
My crowning moment, my achievement? I think my greatest achievement is just, it's funny because it's not an achievement that you would really tout about, but I would say it's surrendering to being who I'm meant to be and serving in the way that I'm meant to serve and doing it full out, which I did not do last time, and just surrendering to, okay, whatever's next, and I will do it. Yes, I'll serve. And that's probably my biggest life achievement so far.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'd say that's a crowning moment, all right. I can't thank you enough for being on the show, everybody. We've been listening to Mariko Frederick. Again, it is soulpriority.com. Get over and work with her. I'll be letting you. I will get you back on the show after we've had my session to see how things are on the other side. I'm very
Absolutely.
Excited.
Thank
very,
you.
Very excited to work with you. I do want to ask you to stay right there while I say goodbye to everybody else and give them an appointment for a week's time. You know that we're always going out every week with another extraordinary entrepreneur. Bye for now, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.